your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
We are back, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins getting you going as we talk Kings, we talk Niners. Let's get back into some Kings. Thank you, Jose Medina, on the YouTube chat. Let's get it, Styles. Glad to have you up in Sacramento. Thank you for that, Jose. And thanks for everybody who's been coming in while we debut our show, giving us kind words, because I guarantee you in a couple days, they might not be so kind, and that's just part of the gig, and I love it. I love it. My whole thing, if you're going to come at me for my takes or whatever, just give an alternative. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just say you stink.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't help me.
That was a dumb
take. Right, that doesn't help me.
Are you an idiot?
Help me help you.
Say something yourself.
Yes. Help me help you, please. And together, we can continue to rock this thing and make Styles and Watkins the hottest show in Sacramento.
In the toe.
Yeah.
3 hours in, you know, I had to give give it to the
just
OGs.
Couldn't put your foot in your mouth. Could you?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had to do it for the OGs. No. That's it. I'm good.
Yeah. Ball and honestly, you can find, go. We have our past shows up. If you want to know about the toe, go check it out. It's pretty funny. We might keep it going. Who knows?
We'll see.
It's the first show. We're trying to figure all these things out. Let's look at some of the numbers as we break down the Kings and we break down what we saw. Mm-hmm. Chris, you had some notes that you, some stats that you thought were interesting.
Yeah.
Why don't you give it to me and the good people?
Yeah, for sure. I think first shout out Will Z Stats, who always, every single year, Kings coverage last year, he absolutely killed it. Always has some of the best numbers just to look at before the games. I believe he writes previews. You can check out his Twitter account, his X account. He's always putting out really, really good numbers that I always find really productive and not just, you know, random stats or something like that. Usually it's there's a story behind the numbers that he points out. So definitely wanted to give Will Z Stats all the flowers, because yesterday he tweeted out something very, very interesting. A big talking point for the Kings, of course, on the defensive end of things. Will they ever have a true rim protector? Obviously, JaVale McGee was brought in this offseason to be that rim protector. Mm-hmm. Before that, they brought in Nerlens Noel. Mm-hmm. They signed Scal Labissiere. They bring back Nemias Keita, all in search of someone who can ideally be 7 foot, stand at the rim, and send shots the other way. JaVale McGee was brought in again. Mm-hmm. He's 36 years old. We don't know what we're really going to get from him. Last night, the Kings showed an ability to protect the rim that they did not show the entirety of last year. Mm-hmm. The season high in blocks last season for the Kings was 8. Last night, just want to take a random guess. How many blocks do you think they had last night?
8.
They had 8. Yeah. They had 8 blocks in day one, which would have matched their season high from last year. I don't think that's a coincidence. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and it wasn't even JaVale that really, you know, set that number over the top either. It's Keegan Murray had 2 blocks. Sabonis had 2 blocks. One of them was fantastic. He unfortunately blocked it off the backboard and it went right to Walker Kessler, but it was a great block in transition. Just their ability to protect the rim better.
Malik Monk,
Malik,
2
blocks on his end. JaVale also threw in a block in there as well, as did De'Aaron. But their ability to protect the rim, or at least be better in the paint, it doesn't, again, I don't think the Kings are, by bringing in JaVale McGee, all of a sudden going to be a really good defensive team or a good interior defensive team. But the fact that as a unit they were able to, again, I think it shows the sign of physicality, not letting anybody get open looks, not just allowing anybody to shoot without a hand at least in their face, I think it's a huge improvement. And I don't think, you know, earlier we were doing, is this nothing or something or something that's going to stick along, or is this just a blip in the first game of the season and there's no other data to go off of? To me, that having 8 blocks in game one, I don't know if, you know, the Kings are going to be a great blocking team this year, but to me that shows they've definitely at least made strides in that department and are definitely taking at least the easy shots, making it harder on teams, which is obviously a huge positive when you don't have overall size.
Right. And I think that, you know, the tough thing about blocking is leapers like to leap. You get stuck in the air, yes, and then you're fouling.
JaVale's guilty of that a lot.
All the time. So you don't want to see that happen, but I do think the fact that, again, that's part of the effort, right? Getting back on D. I know one of the blocks, I believe it was Keegan, was from behind.
Yes.
So yeah, that's getting back on defense, yep, not giving up on plays.
So, and it's true, just right? Transition defense.
All part of the maturation process that the Kings are going through right now, yeah, as they try to get to this next stage, the next phase of who they are as a team and, yep, the success that they want to have. Okay, that's a, yep, that's a solid one right, yeah, there. What else you got for,
yeah,
us?
You're talking about who they are as a team. I, mm-hmm, mean, the defense is fine. The defense is, however much they improve on that end is awesome, and that's, mm-hmm, going to determine how good they are. But you can't forget about the offense. The offense, right, is what makes this team so dangerous in the first place, and that's their calling card. At, mm-hmm, the end of the day, they can be terrible on defense and still be incredible on offense and still win more games than not.
Yeah.
And last night was a continuation. Again, they put up 130 points. Mm. Last season, this is again from Will Z Stats, last season the Kings had 21 games with over 130 points, the most since the 83-84 season. Clearly, again, just another number that shows how ridiculous their offense was last year. What they do, they started off last night scoring 130 in game one.
Right.
13 threes was the most in the first half. It was just, they were knocking down triples, getting easy looks, and again, didn't even have their star players really shine. Right. Domas, quiet 22. De'Aaron, 18 points. We mentioned 1 of 7 from three. He wasn't even knocking down his shots. Even Keegan Murray, 15 points. Nothing, yeah, really to write home about. Still was able to put up 130. I think it's just, you know, we talked about it earlier, but it's just such a great sign that this team's offense is different. It's, mm-hmm, it's not the same as, you know, Golden State. If they're putting up 130, Steph probably has 40.
Yes.
Steph almost has to have 40.
Right.
With the Kings, they can put up 130 and have De'Aaron finish under 20. Mm-hmm. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. And that's, again, just another reason why this Kings team is going to be so tough for a lot of opponents to take down. Not just, you know, not just the bottom feeders or anything, but even teams like Denver, teams, mm-hmm, like the Lakers. People don't account for that much depth. They really have their two guys or their, right, three guys, and they're like, our three guys are essentially going to outscore the rest of your team, and we'll get contributions from other spots. But with the Kings, you've got to have at least, we were talking earlier, how many, two or three defensive guys out there if you're going against them, because you can't just say, okay, we're going to put Jared Vanderbilt on De'Aaron Fox and we're going to have Anthony Davis on, right, Sabonis, and then we'll be fine, because that means now LeBron's got to chase Keegan Murray. That, right, means Austin Reeves has got to try and body up Harrison Barnes. There's just so much talent offensively out there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a nightmare for most teams to go against the Kings.
Yeah, and when you look at the names, I think that is the most interesting thing, because a lot of the names don't stick out, right? If you were to say who, right, is a better team offensively between the Warriors and the Kings,
right,
your first inclination would be to say Warriors. The Warriors.
Because they have Klay. They have Steph.
Right.
They have Chris Paul.
Yeah.
They have Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. They have these names that are like, yeah, like I know what that is, but,
right,
then you say the Kings and De'Aaron Fox. Okay, well, he's not Steph Curry. You,
right,
say Domantas Sabonis. Okay, like, okay, that's,
yeah,
fine. Like, none of those guys are really going to instill fear in you even still.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked a little bit about Kevin Huerter and getting him back on track, and I think that he can get back on track in part because it's interesting. There is a lot on him just in terms of his personal situation and whether he's going to be able to hold on to this starting role or not.
Yeah.
But really, the good thing is for the Kings, it might not be great for Kevin Huerter, but good for the Kings is that we can survive without you playing the way we'd like you to play,
yep,
because we have other pieces. We'd love for you to go off and be, you know, and do what you've done, but we can figure out a way to get through this,
yep,
even if you don't. Mm-hmm. Which is good for us, not so good for you.
Right.
And I'm wondering now, you know, way too early to talk trades or anything like that, but is that starting to creep into his head? We'll know more. I think tomorrow is going to be outstanding basketball. I,
yeah,
think it's going to be drama-filled. No Draymond. I believe they already said,
yeah,
that was
out.
That's,
yeah,
official.
Yep.
So everybody out there that's trying to show up to boo Draymond, you'll have to wait for next time. He will, yeah, not be there. But it will still be a great game. We have some more numbers to get through. Got to get to a break. And one that is really bizarre, doesn't have to do with the Kings, but really bizarre, with that guy in San Antonio that you may or may not heard about. He's kind of an alien. We'll talk about that and more when we get back. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports. Getting you ready, reacting to Kings, Jazz, and getting you ready for Kings Warriors. No Draymond, but it's still going to be a good one. It'll still be classic. And we know the fans are ready. The beam is ready. You already got one. Keep it going. That's what the Kings are thinking as they welcome. I don't know how welcome they'll feel, but they will welcome the Warriors. And look, man, I know you didn't agree with me on the preseason stuff when Steph hit the game winner and did the night-night thing and all that jazz, right? Mm. So I hear you on that, but you got to think. Honestly, I think it actually helped. I think now that it's the real deal, that's still another taste in their mouth that maybe they didn't
Steph's
care at the time.
Fire a little
bit. Right, but this would be a good one to get if you're the Kings.
Absolutely. I mean, home opener. Warriors start off the season 0-1, could put them at 0-2 and really start to, you know, especially if they beat them on Friday and then beat them again. I believe they play again next Wednesday.
Yeah.
They could put two on them early. Start making them think, like, okay, this is a bad start to the season. Mm-hmm. Can we bounce back from this? And B, this Kings team is giving us a lot of trouble. And after, you know, we were the last opponent that they saw last year, and we felt like, I mean, you know, they ended up winning the series in seven games, so they felt like they were the better team after seven games. Might start to slip in a little bit of Warrior doubt, and I think that was really the thing that we were looking for last year. When does the losing kind of start, and when does that losing lead to locker room whispers in that Warriors locker room, and what does that lead to in terms of how strong their chemistry is? And I think the Kings have a really good opportunity to make a statement. Like, I kind of almost hope it's not a good game. I kind of hope it's not a fun game where it's a opening night where we can talk about for years of how these two teams come off of a playoff series and then light the world on fire in their first game back the following year. I'm kind of hoping that the Kings blow them out by 20 or 30 and just prove to them, hey, you guys can't run with us. You guys don't have the depth to keep up with us. And we're a new team this year, and we took note of the fact that y'all have been trying to sun us for the past, you know, 6 months. You guys have tried to not downplay the Kings' success, but definitely still carry yourselves like you're in a class above. The Kings need to show early in this season to the Warriors and to the Lakers, and they did a good job of showing Utah they're a team that needs to be – that other teams need to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Malik said after the Clipper game last year, and I love the quote and I use it all the time, but, like, they got to play us too. Mm-hmm. And the Kings need to kind of keep that energy of other teams need to be aware. Yeah. It needs to be we're playing Sac tonight. We need to be on. We need to make sure we don't let them get going. We need to take away some of their best stuff and not just let the game come to them and you know, the Kings are going to falter throughout the game. The Kings need to make statements early in this season, and I, you know, it could be just me trying to build a narrative, but I really do think that getting off a good start to this season goes a really long way with their positioning later in the year and just throughout this season how they're going to carry themselves when they eventually do hit adversity. Mm-hmm. I think they need to feel like they need to have something to go back on and say, oh no, what about when we were that team and we had that in us? How do we bring that back out? Whereas if they kind of falter and stutter out the gate, it might be a looking around and say, you know, we're not the same team we were last year. There are different elements of this and start to doubt yourself. I think they need to build as much confidence as possible in all elements.
No, and you're spot on because, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think the Kings probably beat any other team that game seven probably in the Western Conference besides the Warriors.
Yeah.
It's starting to
get.
They
got
Steph. It's not going beyond basketball, but it is something to where you need to stack up some of these actual victories and moral victories, whatever you want to call it, to just say, hey, we can hang with these guys just in case they run into them, which they might not, because I don't even know. Right. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. I don't even know how good the Warriors are.
Right. Yeah, they might be preparing for a test that just never comes.
Right.
The Warriors, pop quiz that
just, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? But just in case. Okay, so you had one more stat, not a King stat.
Not
but
a King
this
stat.
One was very interesting.
This is definitely an interesting one, and I'm not a huge believer in like numbers and you know, the same number as that and that and that, but this is just too eerie. This is from shout out Spurs Muse, who apparently every team and every player now has a Muse account.
I saw one for a player. I can't remember what player it was.
Yeah.
And it was basically saying, hey, like somebody created the Muse account and said, hey, does somebody want to buy this? So I don't know if it's somebody just hoarding Muse accounts.
A for-profit
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and then just saying, hey, you want this Herder Muse? And I'm sure Herder already has one.
I guarantee there's a Herder Muse out there.
Right, it's like, really weird. Someone owns the domain for Lonnie Walker Muse.
Yeah,
it's really
weird.
I'm like, what is the line of...
Yes.
If I'm in the NBA, obviously I'm not tripping because I'm in the NBA, but if I don't have a Muse...
Yeah.
I feel like a bum.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to have a Styles Muse.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because everyone has one.
Everyone's got one.
And we know this guy has
this
one.
This is from Spurs Muse. This is not from Wemby Muse, but it is from Spurs Muse. Victor Wembanyama in his debut, I would say a little bit underwhelming, just in terms of I think people were expecting straight out the gate, like 25 and 12 with five blocks. 15 points, two assists, 6 of 9 from the field. Nothing really special. They were in a good game against Dallas on ESPN, which I didn't get to watch the conclusion of. But, you know, they were in that game, and I think that's a good sign for a Spurs team that hopes to be frisky this year. But, again, Wembanyama, 15, two assists, 6 of 9 from the field. Sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah.
What if I told you that Tim Duncan, their last number one pick, in his NBA debut, also had 15 points, 2 assists. And was 6 of 8 from the field. So, you know, that's both to say Wemby didn't have a great game, like an all-timer of a game. He didn't have LeBron 27-7 or whatever he had in his debut. But, you know, there's just because you don't have this ridiculous coming out party doesn't mean that your career is over. Doesn't mean that we should expect anything less. Tim Duncan quite literally had the same exact
stat
line.
That is crazy. I mean, the points and assists – is one thing, but the same
6 of 9. From
six
the
of
field.
Nine is crazy.
Weird, just weird. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, like it'll be interesting to see. I was kind of surprised at how little shot attempts mainly Wemby got yesterday. Like I kind of figured that team this entire season was just going to be let's give Wemby as many opportunities as possible and just kind of get him as acclimated to the league as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and look, you know, and maybe the Mavericks are a little.
Fool's goldish.
Yeah. Or not fool's gold. I was going to say maybe they're better than some people are giving them credit for. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. But again, that's another team in the Spurs to where if you're in the Western Conference, you can't just roll it out. I think they'll lose most games, but they're going
that's
to.
That's a guy that you have to deal with.
That's that a guy 7-4 that you have to deal with. And he destroyed the Warriors
a
couple weeks ago, whenever that was, in the preseason. So, yeah, having the same exact stat line, that's pretty crazy. Also, both being on the Spurs, all those connections.
Insane.
Yeah, that's something else. That's something else. Yeah, so, I mean, Wembanyama to me, and Kyle was telling us before the show that they had the ticker at the bottom for Wembanyama's stats.
Yeah.
That's a little much to me.
The only time I've ever seen that done before was Caitlin Clark in her March Madness run last year, and then Kobe Bryant on his final game.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two times I've ever seen ESPN whip out the constant. Oh, and Trae Young. When Trae Young was in college, they would do it too. But just the constant stat ticker from tip-off all the way through the final whistle.
Right.
It's like, I mean, yeah, like that's what we're all here for sure, but... Maybe just throw it up every break or something.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if we need to just have that
constant thing. We're witnessing history, and then you didn't.
Yeah.
But I guess they needed it there.
Because at the time, it was like 11 points, 3 for 6 from the field, and they just had it constantly up on the screen.
My question is, if they do this, would they do it again? They're going to keep doing this?
I think as long as the Spurs are on, because they know that
if
you're tuning in, that's what you want.
I can't see them doing it again.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I don't even know how many national games they have anyway.
I think they have more than what people would want.
Yeah.
I think they have like 5 to 7 national TV games.
Wemby time.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
more than down to watch Wemby as many times as possible.
All right, get into a break. When we get back, we are going over all the Thursday night games, NBA and NFL. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Headlines.
Good afternoon, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. The Sacramento Kings are 1-0 with a 130-114 victory against the Utah Jazz. Harrison Barnes had 27 first-half points. 8 different Sacramento Kings made a three-pointer, and they set a franchise opening night record with 13 first-half three-pointers. Brennan Nunez has his 4 takeaways from the game's story up right now at SacktownSports.com. You guys should definitely check that out. Brock Purdy is unlikely to play Sunday for the San Francisco 49ers while he goes through the NFL concussion protocol. And it's homecoming night for the Sacramento State Football Hornets this Saturday versus the Idaho State Bengals. Kickoff is at 6 o'clock p.m. Come early and enjoy the festivities. Get your tickets at HornetSports.com. Those are your headlines. Reminder, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Now let's return for the final half hour of Stiles and Watkins with the birthday boy, Chris.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports. One more segment until Crosstalk with the Drive guys, Whitey and Draper. It's been a good one. Oh, here you go.
I have no idea what this is.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I can't believe I just said that. I was like,
wow.
I'm sorry. I'm fired. No.
You know, most people just know the chorus.
I know. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
There you go.
Well, and then I had to hear who it was. I was like, what? I've never heard this intro before.
There you go. Sing it, Stevie.
Yeah. Do you think Stevie can sing?
Oh, that conspiracy theory?
Is it a conspiracy theory?
Have you heard Shaq's story about it?
No.
Everybody,
look it up.
I feel like everybody has a story of this one time I threw something and Stevie kind of flinched, or I waved at him, or there's like a like at an award show,
Yeah. Somebody
blew a kiss towards him and he caught it. And like you can kind of see his wife nudge him, so maybe she told him, Stevie, catch it.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow. Well, man's shout out Stevie. Talented. Yeah, I mean, he's one of my favorites.
Just ridiculous.
And he's, to me, honestly, I don't know how it's possible, but I think Stevie Wonder is weirdly underrated.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I think most people know who he is
and know
his story, but I think his music is actually a bit underrated.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Who he is as an artist.
Like,
so shout out Stevie.
Really, like, he's not brought up in that Mike Jackson conversation.
No, you know? I don't know that he should be, but I think
I feel like he should be. Well, I feel like Stevie's got some eternal music.
I think, right.
He's got enough hits, in my opinion.
Well, my question is, and it's not because they both had the same situation, but if you look at a Ray Charles versus a Stevie.
Sure.
I feel like, and I could sound be way off base, so somebody could correct me if I'm wrong. Ray Charles had some classics, don't get me wrong. They're not even necessarily the same
era,
yeah, per se. Right. But I feel like Stevie, he had some real bangers and some legit songs. And I don't know. I feel like he just needs a little bit more.
He needs more appreciation. He needs his flowers.
And unfortunately, I'm going to take it there. I mean, you know when he'll get it.
Yes, exactly. Sucks. Exactly.
When it's too late.
He's going to be top of the charts and all that stuff. But the dude, I mean, he's just got so many songs. Literally so many songs that it's like, they're literally, in the same way that Michael Jackson kind of made, like, eternal music that'll get played at weddings
till
we're 95 and our kids are 95. Stevie Wonder has a couple, like, Superstition, obviously.
Well, you got Superstition and then the wedding song that will never end, Lovely, Isn't She Lovely?
Yes,
that one's always going to be the go-to.
Right.
So, yeah, all right, we got a call here. From Emil?
Oh, no. Is this our Emil?
What's up, Emil? You're on Stiles and Watkins.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Just leaving practice right now. Brock Purdy is out there on the field going through concussion protocol. He was taking snaps today, not in a blue contact jersey because he's not a position player, but he would be in one of those jerseys. But it is a good sign that he is going through practice right now, obviously during the media portion. And then later, he is also scheduled for his regular availability for media as well. So that's a good sign for his playing ability week 8.
Emil, how does this process kind of go? Do you know? I mean, I know like the concussion protocol has been taken a little bit more seriously this year. I think every single person who's gotten put into concussion protocol has ended up missing.
I'm sorry, Chris. I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I said, how does this kind of process go? Because I know just about everyone has kind of, you know, missed the week that they got put into concussion protocol. How did Brock kind of get out of this protocol so quickly?
You know, he was showing signs coming back from Minnesota on the team plane. It wasn't, you know, per se a concussion diagnosis. He was showing signs of a concussion, so that's why they put him in the protocol. The day after that, we were talking to Kyle on Wednesday. He said he was already feeling better and feeling more himself. But now a day later, 24 hours later, he is now on the field. So that's just a good sign. It can move fast sometimes. And while he is on a short week, that is true going into week eight, it's a good sign that he's just out there in general.
So, like, how long would it take for him to be officially cleared for Sunday? Because it seems like people have already kind of thrown Sam Darnold into that. Does Brock kind of is today just kind of already the sign that he's definitely in step to play, or is there still some more hurdles that he kind of needs to go over before he's cleared for game action?
There is definitely still a couple more hurdles. I don't know exactly what those hurdles are. They're kind of specified with independent neurologists and stuff like that. But the sign is that he is out there, which is a sign that he's gone through enough steps to be present with a helmet on as well, which is a good sign for obviously a head injury. So that just in general is good. And we'll talk to him later, hopefully, and get more clarity on where he's at.
Sheesh. Thanks, Emil. Thanks for checking in. Look at that. First show. We get guys coming in. Emil's doing his thing, reporting
on his job.
You know what I mean?
Just
grassroots. That's what we love to see. But that is kind of breaking news to me because Adam Schefter, like you said, nobody.
No, it was done. It was a wrap.
Right. Especially on a short week.
I already picked Sam Darnold up on my fantasy team.
There you go. Especially on a short week to be able to get out there. I'm just confused. Now I'm confused. How does I don't get it. I don't get it. So concussion symptoms, and then they decided that it wasn't a concussion?
Yeah, so Emil kind of said it that he never was officially diagnosed with a full-blown concussion, just concussion-like symptoms.
Okay.
And which, you know, I don't really know what.
So now I have to be that guy.
Sure.
So do those picks now count? I don't know. Do those picks count now? If he plays against the Bengals, those picks count to me.
Yeah, I think that counts. I definitely think that counts, for sure. I mean, if you're out there, it's got to count.
What did he have? I don't know. To me, if it was concussion, if he never had a concussion,
then
I don't know.
I mean, his bell was – I mean, then he just got hit like every other – player
this
does.
This is weird, man.
It's very strange because, I mean, Emil said he couldn't hear me, but essentially what I was laying out was every single player this season, and it hasn't been the case in previous seasons, before you can get into concussion protocol on Monday, be out by Thursday or Friday, and then you're playing, kind of like what we're seeing here. But this entire season, there's not been a single player put into concussion protocol that did not then miss that week's game. And so what is different in this situation? I mean, Emil said that they still need to talk with Brock.
Right,
and
it's not done yet, but he's got a helmet on. He's
very
out there.
Very strange. And I wouldn't think that he wouldn't get cleared unless they checked all the proper boxes. But it's just really strange. Really, really strange.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming.
Didn't see it coming at all. I mean, it was already – I already kind of had it sharpied in that Sam Darnold's going to be starting.
Right, and he still might. But I also don't see why have him out there. If it's going to be a close call, I don't know. Interesting.
Also, is this kind of, I don't want to read too much into it, and I know we have to hit a break here soon, but is this kind of a sign that Niners are kind of sweating a little bit? Like maybe they view this as, you know, obviously three straight losses isn't great, but I personally wouldn't kill them if they lose to the Bengals because I think they showed enough through 5 weeks, through those five wins, that I'm willing to let some of this slide by and it kind of it's concerning to me, not concerning, but it's just interesting to me that, like you're saying, they kind of, it appears that they feel the need that Brock has to get in there because I think just look how they just approached the Debo, the McCaffrey, and the Trent Williams thing. They were more than willing to say, we'll give them time if they're ready to go. McCaffrey was ready to go,
but
he can play, but you know, maybe they're taking a different tone. Maybe they are feeling a little bit of sense of urgency, which is interesting for a team that I don't necessarily think they need to feel that sense of urgency.
Well, I guess it's better to feel it than to think you can just coast. You know, and
I would give him time.
Debo being out,
concussion.
But you're going to look up, and that's the reason now you're in Philly. You got to go to Philly. Sure. So I get it. Semi-breaking news because we don't know if he's going to play or not, but thank you to Emil for calling with that note. If you're just now tuning in, Brock Purdy was on the field today during practice. Not ever formally diagnosed with a concussion, but concussion-like symptoms, which changes everything. As reported, nobody that has gone into concussion protocol this season has played the next week. But maybe all those guys had a concussion and Brock technically didn't.
Yes.
We will have to wait and see. Okay, you won't have to wait too long for us to get back with the Drive guys, Whitey and Draper, as we loop them into what's going on and talk a little bit of Kings. That's next. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
We are back. One more segment, Sacktown Sports, joined by the Drive guys.
Hey!
Who will be driving to the arena tomorrow.
Yes.
Doing the show out there.
Yeah, how about the job that this man did last
week? Holding your composure.
That was incredible.
Yeah. Appreciate
when
that.
When you have a dunk like Malik Monk's did yesterday, how do you not just let it all out? How do you not stand? How are you not like pushing Katie back?
I am doing that. We need the announcer cam because that's exactly what I'm doing. You know, it's like I'm at home on the couch watching with my son, and that reaction is like, that's just how it is.
The other way, dive. Oh, he brought the house down.
It was nuts.
It was crazy.
Yeah,
I'd be clearing out the rows. Right. Everybody,
Jazz fans even reacted to that one. Like I made the call. And I turn to my right, and I see this guy like three rows ahead of me, and he's just like that, and he's a Jazz fan. Yeah. It took his soul also, not just the Jazz team. He took the fan souls also last night, man. Oh, it was crazy. Wow.
That was, I think, truly one of the 10 greatest dunks in Sacramento Kings history.
I think it might have been.
Honestly,
on that list. Yeah. It was a true, that's a true poster. Yeah. Like, he really dunked. Like, you know, sometimes guys slip out the way. Mm. That was a true, chest to chest, I'm
with
dunking on you.
Yes.
With purpose.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. You can feel he had violent intentions on that one.
And if you're Chris Dunn, I get it. You're trying to give an effort, but you're already in a bad position because Malik he's got a full head of steam and he gets stuck in the middle, and instead of making the business decision, he decides to jump with him, and I just don't know why you did that.
Yeah. I have usually great admiration for guys that they try to make the right play, they rotate over, they end up getting posterized. In that case, though, he had options, didn't he, Kyle?
He
had some options.
He could have made a business decision. And how about De'Aaron Fox just setting them up, right? De'Aaron Fox did him dirty. Foxy could have just laid it up or dunked it himself. No, he was like, I want to get my guy to dunk on Chris Dunn. It was amazing, man.
Wow.
Frankie says that Keegan and Fox have a bet going who can have the best dunk of the year. And I don't know if they're going to top that one. Either one of them is going to top that one.
Yeah. So all three of
those
them
two.
Do.
Well, just those two, Keegan and Fox.
Now they're going to try to outdo it.
Yeah. I think that's why Malik was left out of that conversation. There was one of those where it's like, should we tell? No, he's going to beat us. So
no,
let's just keep it a friendly competition.
Well, we were talking earlier about who you get dunked on by matters. Because I think along with the dunk, Malik's reaction after added to it. And he's just a guy I wouldn't want to get dunked on. Because he talks trash. He's going to get in your grill, right? And it was just a perfect storm of things to happen for Chris Dunn and the Jazz. Because Malik is not going to – he's not just going to dunk and walk away.
Yeah. Maybe it's a Jazz thing. I don't know if anyone remembers this. Well, I know some people do. 2006, I think it was, Ronnie Price – had one of the greatest dunks in Kings history along the baseline at the old Arco over Carlos Boozer.
Yeah.
It was the Kings against the Jazz.
Yeah.
Like, to your point, Ronnie Price, I mean, bless him, but people don't know who he was. It was an amazing dunk.
Was.
You remember that
it
one?
It was incredible. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was one of the last few good memories of Kings basketball.
So it's a Kings Jazz thing. I don't know.
Well, Suns Lakers tonight, And you have, what is it, the 76ers and Bucks tonight.
Yes.
Freak Time, the debut of Freak Time with Giannis and Damian Lillard. I'm just not very high on the Bucks. I don't know why. I think it's Chris Middleton. He's been a little injured.
They're going to lose a lot.
I do know why, then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think they're going to lose a lot defensively.
Yeah.
But it's going to be quite a show. Right?
Yeah, I actually like the move for the Bucks. I'm high on them. I think, you know, Chris Middleton is the key, though. Mm-hmm. You're right. If he's healthy and he's playing, he's a great number three option.
Right.
If he's not, then you got two, and then, you know, the next best player is what? Brooke Lopez, right. I guess. Yeah. You know, it drops off a lot right there. But I think, you know, the thing about the Bucks, when you get a guy like Dame Lillard, Giannis doesn't have to be your closer anymore. Mm-hmm. Think, who was their closer? Like Giannis?
Giannis.
You can actually neutralize him late in games. Yeah. And now you throw in Dame. Dame's one of the best clutch players. So I actually like the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I think they'll finish second behind the Celtics.
Yeah.
But I actually like the Bucks.
So we've got two Philly guys in here. Allen was quite literally just in Philly. Mm-hmm. What are your guys' thoughts on the Sixers? Because it seems like
it's a mess.
whether James Harden stays or not, it's going to be just an incredibly difficult situation to navigate.
I think it's a mess. I wouldn't touch James Harden. I mean, I don't know what his deal is.
Right.
I don't, the whole he lied to me thing. I don't know, and honestly, I don't care because I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze anymore with James Harden.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like anyone's calling for
no
it.
No one's calling
for it. Like, the Clippers have mild interest, but it doesn't seem like they're ready to sell the farm.
Yeah, they don't
want
to lose anything.
Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I will take him.
Which they shouldn't. They shouldn't give up anything for him.
He's created these narratives everywhere he's... I mean, he was just, okay, the Houston one, I think we all gave him a pass on because he was there for a very long time.
Right.
You go to Brooklyn, that doesn't work out. Then all three of them, they need a nickname, right? All three of them are just turns into, man, I'm glad you got out of there. Oh, my gosh. Like, they were just being held against their will. Kyrie, I'm just glad, KD, and I'm just glad they got out of there. Then James, I got to be with my guy. I got to be with the Sixers. And all of a sudden, he's in China. He lied to me.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm with you. I just would have no interest in having him on my squad right now. So
he's just not worth it. Like, he doesn't bring you any. Like, I mean, he led the league in assists last year, but clearly he's a headache. Clearly he's a malcontent who it's just you're looking at your clock waiting for the moment where James Harden all of a sudden isn't happy
anymore.
He's
proven that he is not above trying to cause problems for a franchise. He's done
that.
And
that's the scary thing if you're Philly.
Fine,
is like,
but I don't want that on my team.
No, well, in
I
Philly don't. Now, it's like if they're going to keep him around, like you said, he's shown like a propensity to actively try and make the situation worse. So you don't want to keep him. No one wants to trade for him. He's still a great player, but he's not as great as what he thinks he is or what he used to be.
Kevin Herter for James Harden.
Who says no? I think the Kings say no. I think the Kings say no.
Kyle, I'm kidding. Come
on. No, hey, leave my guy Kevin Herter.
I know, I'm kidding.
Hey, keep his name out your lips, man. No Kevin Herter slander on this show.
So you think he'll be okay?
Who, Kevin? Herter. Oh, yeah. I have no worries about Kevin Herter. I have zero worries about him.
You don't think he's hearing footsteps?
Of course, I'm sure he is. That, you know, why wouldn't he hear him the way he's been playing? But he's a veteran. This is a guy that shot 40% from three. It's not like you forget how to shoot. Mm-hmm. Now, in 10 games, we can have this conversation again. If he's still struggling, then I'm worried. But, you know, I thought he actually competed yesterday. He didn't always get the results, you know, but I thought at least the effort was there last night.
All right. Gotta go.
Great first show.
No, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. First episode or first show, Styles and Watkins. Happy birthday to Chris. Drive Guys up next.